This morning, I'd like to talk about the subject of joy. Now, think about what is the most joyful thing that has happened within your life. Maybe it was having a baby. It's pretty joyful, isn't it? We were looking at some of our baby pictures. And having a great granddaughter is pretty joyful, you know. But how long does joy last through the things that we experience? There is a joy that can last through all the situations of life. Every situation that we face, whether difficult, tedious, we can have joy. And it's a joy that will last for eternity. That's what I want to talk about this morning. And first of all, there are two kinds of joy. And in Psalm 4, verses 7 through 8, it says, "You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their new wine and their grain abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." David was a man who lived his life facing lions, bears, giants, Saul who wanted to kill him, and he faced many difficult situations. In all of these, he had joy. Look at where his joy was. It was in his heart. Now, its source was God. The heart here is the center of the human spirit, from which spring emotions, thought, your motivations, your courage, and your actions. It is as Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, "The wellspring of life." David defines two joys here. First, he defines that of an inward joy that comes from knowing God. The second joy that he defines, that of when the grain and the new wine abound, is that of happiness that comes as a result of pleasant circumstances. Inward joy is steady as long as we trust in God. Happiness is unpredictable. Inward joy defeats discouragement, but happiness covers it up. Inward joy is lasting. Happiness is only temporary. The second point is joy versus happiness. Psalms 16, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Therefore, My heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Here in this passage, it is a prophecy that is about Christ, but it is also a passage where David is expressing his own security within God, that his security was God. And David describes total security. God is in control of everything. Trusting his control, that he has our best interest, even when in our eyes things look bad, we can relax and rejoice in God. God has said that he will never leave us nor forsake us, so that we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. True joy is deeper than happiness. We can feel joy in spite of our deepest troubles. Happiness is temporary because it is based on external circumstances. But joy is lasting because it is based on God's presence within us. As we contemplate his daily presence, we will find contentment. As we understand the future that he has for us, we will experience joy. Don't base your life upon circumstances. Base your life on God. That's where joy is. Excuse me, I'm getting emotional. Number three, what true joy is. This is the Beatitudes that Carl so ably read to us. And in the Beatitudes, we find a progression of relationship with God. We go from that of being poor in spirit, or that of recognizing that we have such a need for God that we can't live without him. And he says that when we're in that relationship, when we have that understanding of our need, that we have the kingdom of heaven. He goes on to talk about those that mourn, those that recognize their sin and are sorrowful for their sin, they will be comforted. Those that are meek, the humble, you know, not self-built up, not trying to promote themselves, they'll inherit the earth. Those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll be filled. Filled with righteousness. Those that are merciful will obtain mercy. those that are pure in heart, they'll see God. Can you imagine that? Those that are peacemakers, they'll be called the sons of God. Those that are persecuted, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those that are persecuted, insulted, and falsely accused, it says, great is their reward in heaven. Do you stand for the Lord? Do you really, really believe in Him and let Him be the Lord of your life? Each beatitude tells us how to be blessed. Blessed means more than happiness. It implies the fortunate or enviable state of those who are in the kingdom of heaven. The Beatitudes don't promise laughter. They don't promise pleasure. They don't promise earthly prosperity. Now, those are things that most of us want in our lives, don't we? To Jesus, blessed means the experience of hope and joy, independent of outward circumstances. To find hope and joy, the deepest form of happiness, follow Jesus, no matter what the cost. In John 15 and verse 11, Jesus said this, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, this isn't a passage where Jesus has been telling the apostles and disciples that they are to love. But remember how he told them to love? He said, to love as I have loved you. And what did he do? He went to the cross. He gave himself completely. And we're to give ourselves completely for one another. Completely unto God. To obey with all of our heart. That's not easy to do. And we fall so far short. I'm speaking about myself. When things are going well, we feel elated, don't we? You know? Great. Everything's going good. When hardships come, we sink into depression. But true joy transcends the rolling waves of circumstance. Joy comes from a consistent relationship with Jesus Christ. When our lives are intertwined with His, He will help us walk through the adversity without sinking into a debilitating low and manage the prosperity that comes without going into some deceptive high. The joy of living with Jesus Christ will keep us level-headed, no matter how high or how low our circumstances are. The fourth point, a cure for jealousy. Now, you might not ever experience jealousy in your life. Maybe. Luke 1, verses 42 through 45. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Now, why do I say jealousy? Because Elizabeth here had been barren for years. And, you know, within the society of the Jews there, whenever you were barren, people looked down on you. And here she had been looked down on for so many years. And what happens when people have a situation that they've wanted all their life and other people are getting it? A lot of times there's jealousy, isn't there? Well, the reaction of Elizabeth was not one of jealousy, but hers was of joy and blessing unto Mary. Mary came along. She's a youngster, you know. And here's Elizabeth. She's not so youngster, you know. And she's not saying, you know, well, I should have been able to have a child when I was young, you know. But, you know, she's taking and looking at the joy that is there, not only for herself, but the joy that was there for Mary. And she expresses what wonderful joy. Mary received this word of God and acted in belief. Oh, what a great way to react. What a great way for us to act with joy for those that receive, those that will act upon what God has said to them. The fifth point, heaven is joyful for each repentant sinner. Luke 15, verses 8 through 10. It says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my coin.'" Yeah? "In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Now, the Jewish women got 10 silver coins as a wedding gift. And each of these coins was worth a day's wage. Now, to lose one would have been like losing your wedding ring. Now, when you think about losing your wedding ring, you've really lost something that's of value to you. Something that has economic value, yes. But more than that, the sentimental value. You don't want to lose something like that. At least I don't think most people do. And I saw something in the news. This Paradise fire. There was a lady that went back and she was looking through all of the debris that was there from the house burning down. And there was nothing, absolutely nothing that she could find. And she's sifting through the ashes. And guess what? She found her wedding ring. Huh. Isn't... To me, that really touched me. You know, here... Wow! You know, she found something that was extremely important to her. You know, there's so much that is unimportant of what we have. We have stuff, and we have stuff, and we have stuff. But that wedding ring. And when that wedding ring is found, or when that lost coin is found, it's a rejoicing. And here in this passage, it's saying that in heaven, the angels rejoice. Whenever the person that is lost returns to the Lord, it's not something that is small, you know. It's something that is great. These angels are in heaven rejoicing before God the Father. That says to me that God the Father is rejoicing. Hallelujah. Wow. When we turn from our sin and we trust in Jesus, all of heaven is so elated, happy, happy because we are turning to be what God wants us to be. Joy. And forgiveness, point number 6, turns bitterness to joy. In Luke 15 and verse 30, and this is a passage where the older brother of the prodigal son is speaking. And he says, but when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. Huh. You know, the prodigal son had just come home. He'd been out, you know, he'd taken his money. He'd spent it. Spent it in sinful living. But yet when he came home, he repented. He had a heart that was turned. It was no longer the same. He came saying to his father, I'm not even worthy. Not even worthy to be your son. Can I be just one of the servants? But the father, he wasn't having any of that. He comes out with open arms. Yeah. My love for you is so great. That's God's love for us. When we are the ones that repent, that's God's love that touches down for us. And this father was forgiving and loving. But the son showed resentment and bitterness over the celebration. He was so much like the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees were so against Jesus. But not only against Jesus, the Pharisees were against those that were coming to Jesus. Those that were repenting and turning their lifestyles. You know, and they were the prostitutes. They were the ones that were the tax collectors and what the Pharisees called the sinners, you know. They didn't have a heart that was open to receive them. And we need to have that heart. And then we find joy because we have forgiveness. And then point number 7. Finding joy despite suffering. I don't want to suffer. Luke 21:28. It's in a passage where Jesus is talking about his second coming. And it talks of persecution and destruction. And he says, when all these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is near. Do you get that? Stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is near. There's joy. Be proud. Be happy. You know, I have a tendency to be slumped over. Part of it's because my back is not good. But when the Lord comes, there's great joy. But when you see that the Lord is coming, look with joy. And I think we can look. Now, I don't know how long, you know, before the Lord actually returns, but there's so many of the signs that we see all the time. So many. The picture of coming persecutions and natural disasters is a gloomy picture. It really is. But ultimately, it is cause not for worry, but for joy. For believers with Jesus, there is justice and peace. Both as He reigns within us now and in eternity. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Now, Paul was in prison when he wrote this. And he was telling the church to rejoice. Paul had faced all kinds of persecutions. Yet, he's saying, rejoice. Always. Paul's example and attitude shows that our inner attitudes do not have to reflect our outward circumstances. Paul was full of joy because he knew that no matter what happened to him, Jesus Christ was with him. Jesus needs to be our source of joy. And he goes on in verse 5 to tell us what ultimate joy is. He says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." There's your source of joy. The Lord is near. The key to joy, number 8. In John 17 and verse 13. And this is where Jesus was praying to the Father, and he says, "I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them." The full measure of his joy within. The key to immeasurable joy is living in intimate contact with Jesus Christ. He is the source of all joy. When we do, we will experience God's special care and protection and see the victory that comes in Jesus. Point number 9, experiencing joy in forgiveness. Romans 4, verses 6 through 8. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. "Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him." We cannot earn forgiveness. It is by God's mercy and grace. Our sins cause guilt. So how do we get rid of the guilt? Remember, David committed sins. He committed adultery, murder, lying, probably other things that we don't know about. But what about us? The same thing. Yet he experienced the joy of forgiveness. We can have this joy when we first of all quit denying our guilt. We recognize that we have sin. Secondly, we admit our guilt to God and we ask for his forgiveness. And then third, we let go of our guilt. Believe that God has forgiven us. This sometimes is the harder thing, I think, for a lot of us. But 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's time for us to believe in Jesus. He is the one who created and holds all things together. His joy can be your joy. As you believe in Him, as you confess your sins, as you repent, and you turn from your sins, being baptized and walking in obedience to Him, loving and serving one another, proclaiming Jesus to the world and being led by His Holy Spirit. This morning, if you have any need, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?